3. The Devil's Questions. Zack got into a hover car with the man. There was one soldier driving. The rest of the soldiers got into a different vehicle, a larger one that looked dangerous. "I'm Captain Breidigan," the soldier said.
"I don't care what your name is," said Zack.
Captain Breidigan said nothing. Zack said nothing. They got to Zack's house. The door was standing open. A woman was waiting inside, with papers spread out on the kitchen table, along with a pile of blocks and other paraphernalia, including a small machine. She must have noticed Zack looking at it because she touched it and explained, "It's a recorder, so other people can hear our session and evaluate it later." "Captured lightning," thought Zack. "Just another device used by Satan to snare the souls of men."
"My name," she said, "is Agnes O'Toole."
"He doesn't care," said Breidigan. Zack extended his hand.
"I'm pleased to meet you, Agnes O'Toole."
Didn't Breidigan understand the obligation of kindness and courtesy that all men owed to all women, since women's destiny was to go down into the valley of the shadow of death in order to bring more souls into the world to become purified so they could serve God? What tragic ignorance. "I'll wait out here," said Breidigan, "if that's all right with Zack here." He seemed to be waiting for an answer.
"I don't care what you do,"
said Zack, not bothering to look at him. He was a man of violence, as he had already proven, and so he was hopelessly impure. He had no authority in the eyes of God, and yet he had seized Zack by the shoulders as if he had a right. Only Father had a duty to purify Zack's flesh. No other had a right to touch him. "His father beats him," said Breidigan. And then he left. Agnes looked at him with raised eyebrows. But Zack saw no need to explain. They had known about the chastisement of the impure flesh before they came. How else would Breidigan have known to take off his shirt and show the marks? Breidigan and Agnes obviously wanted to use these scars somehow, as if they thought Zack wanted to be comforted and protected.
"From Father?
From the instrument chosen by God to raise Zack to manhood? As well might a man raise his puny hand to prevent God from working his will in the world." Agnes began the test. Whenever the questions dealt with something Zack knew about, he answered forthrightly, as his father had commanded him. But half the questions were about things completely outside Zack's experience. Maybe they were about things on the vids which Zack had never watched in his life. Maybe they were things from the nets which Zack only knew about because they were damnable webs made of lightning, laid before the feet of foolish souls to snare them and drag them down to hell. Agnes manipulated the blocks and then had him answer questions about them. Zack saw at once what the purpose of the test was. So he reached over and took the blocks from her. Then he manipulated them to show each and every example drawn on two dimensions on the paper, except one. "You can't make this one with these blocks," he said. She put the blocks away. The next test was entitled Worldview Diagnostics, Fundamentalist Christian Edition. Since she covered this title almost instantly, it was obvious Zack wasn't supposed to know what he was being tested on. She began with questions about the creation and Adam and Eve. Zack interrupted her, quoting Father. "The book of Genesis represents the best job that Moses could do, explaining evolution to people who didn't even know the earth was round."
"You believe in evolution?"
"Then what about Adam as the first man?"
"The name Adam means many," said Zack.
"There were many males in that troop of primates when God chose one of them and touched him with his spirit and put the soul of a man inside.
It was Adam who first had language and named the other primates, the ones that looked like him but were not human because God had not given them human souls. Thus it says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." What Moses originally wrote was much simpler. Adam named all the beasts that were not in the image of God. None of them could speak to him, so he was utterly alone. "You know what God originally wrote?" asked Agnes. "You think we're fundamentalists," said Zek, "but we're not. We're Puritans. We know that God can only teach us what we're prepared to understand. The Bible was written by men and women of earlier times, and it holds only as much as they were capable of understanding. We have a greater knowledge of science, and so God can clarify and tell us more. He would be an unloving father if he insisted on telling us only as much as humans could understand back in the infancy of our species."